until now. So, so please do not forget that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I would like to integrate the report of the Political Commission number 3, the report made by Minera. I think some other things have been told during the work of the Political Commission, and we have not only focused on European Army, but we, especially the intervention of Fernando Iglesias, told us that we need to develop more the soft power of the European Union. The other things that is very important, that there was the critics about our works, that we are too many Eurosceptics. We, in our report, in our also resolution, we need a more open development of what is succeeding in the world. All of the problems that Europe is facing, such as the European international migration, international terrorism, global trade and exchange, are all world problems. They need global solutions. So we, as the European Federalists, we have to work to democratize the European Union. This is a very important duty. But at the same time, we have a responsibility in facing the world problem. So we need to develop some policy directed to democratize the United Nations. This is why we presented other two resolutions speaking about the report between US and WFM. We need more and more engagement of our national and European organization to work together with WFM to develop with them international campaign such as the United Nations Parliamentary Assembly campaign. There was an amendment to integrate the political resolution 3.2 about the WFM and USM, and also there was presented another resolution inviting the US to work to develop the Global Week of Action for the World Parliament. And during the session, there was said that the European Federalists in the past century worked for the establishment of a European Parliament, that is the first example of European democracy. At the same time, now it's time to work at the global level to claim the same things we succeeded in at the European level. This is what I would like to say, and have a good job. Thank you.
Yes, well, I'd like to come back to some of the comments. I think where we want to go is quite clear. We are not as clear about the path to our goals of a federal Europe. And one of the problems we currently face is the acceptance of Europe as it is and of the idea of more Europe as we want it. And I think there are two levels which we need to address. One is, as mentioned by the first commenter, the question of a social Europe, because I think in the long run, Europe will only be accepted by the majority of the populace if they have the feeling it's not just a democratic but also a social Europe, which gives security not just in a military way, but also in a basic social sense. And I think the New Deal for Europe is one of the possible ways to go forward there. The other thing is, of course, the feeling of a living democracy in Europe. We have the European Parliament. We saw at the exhibition the many steps necessary to get where we are right now. But we have not just with right-wing populists, but also with the normal people who listen to them, the feeling that more and more democracy is taken away from us. We have to address that in a way. One of the problems I'm seeing right now is CETA, for example, as a small TTIP version, because of course we as federalists see trade, which is the European competence, and we don't want to change that. But on the other hand, we want acceptance of Europe, and bypassing the national levels is passing CETA, and possibly afterwards TTIP might be a problem, because it leads into the arguments of those, for example, in the Brexit debate, saying there is a EU dictatorship. They pass laws without asking us at our level, and we don't want to feed into those arguments. So I just followed a bit of the debate that has sprung in Germany today after publication that the Commission wants to bypass the national levels of passing these. I think we as federalists should debate how and how our reaction to that should be. As I said, we don't want trade or anything which is reasonably at the European level to be taken away from there, but we need the acceptance of European populace for the Europe as it is and for more Europe as we want it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the floor. Good afternoon, Ivo Kaplan from the Czech Republic. I would like to appeal on this. Think that we have now 2 years which are free for the preparation of the campaign for the next European parliamentary election. I think it's very, on one side, difficult and on one side, important. To find ways how to get supporters, how to get really people from streets, from organizations, from associations, and from political parties to support our ideas. Because I very support this resolution made by Bureau, or prepared for this Congress by Bureau. Say that we cannot wait more, and we should really establish some federal law inside of the European Union, not wait for these who are not willing or not familiar with the ideas we are promoting. Because it's one of ways how we can awake also people in the Czech Republic to be for the European project, because many people are satisfied, they have a good life, they have everything, and they don't see dangers which are around, which are coming from Mediterranean neighbors, which are coming from Ukraine, from Russia, and so on. So I would like to ask you to really be active in making some groups inside of nations, and it should be like Monika Prastovi said, or Elmar Brok, that we cannot lie in bed with populists, because it's we could see in the Austrian way that finally we could be very glad that the son of Estonian father and Russian mother is also president. It's really, I think, the last warning. It is the last warning for all of us. Yeah. And Czech Republic are the neighboring countries, so for us it is warning double on. We already yesterday agreed with our chairman, that we shall make with the Czech Parliament some conference in first days of November this year. So I think that I can invite all of us for sure. I don't know if we can make some reimbursement for that, but for sure I will give the notice for everybody through General Secretariat and the members of the Parliament. And we want to really inform all politicians in the Czech Republic how is going European project ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Peter, not the retro, but when we met in September, it was a session in Brussels. The political discussion was basically split into two priorities. One was the Eurozone as a financial economic crisis that we had, and the second one was the migration one that just happened. And at the time, it was, let's say, commonly agreed that we should have one campaign, and that such campaign should be on one topic. When I come back to the discussion we had yesterday and this morning, my feeling is that we have changed our approach. Today we say that it's the Brexit, which is going to be the key opportunity for moving forward. It's going to be the response from the Brexit that could leverage on getting a new step forward. And when we look at the resolution, general resolution that was discussed this morning, we see also that we not only include economic elements, but we get the broader picture. And what I would like to say is that given that it should be, it will surely be the Brexit that will trigger our next step, as far as we understand it, and because the debate in Great Britain at the moment is not only focused on Euro, it's not only focused on migration, it's really focused on the European project. It is challenging us on the European project we want. I would suggest that in the next campaign in our mind, we not only concentrate neither on the economic aspect or 100% on the migration one, but really to recreate the dream and to rebuild a new project as a campaign. Why do I say that? Because my belief is that if you go to the citizens, because we will have to go to the citizens to make them back into the process, asking for a Eurozone government won't be sufficient to get them back, because today they have other priorities than only economic ones, and from one country to another it's also different. We need to include the social elements. We have an identity crisis we also have to address. So it is very important in my view, if we wanted to succeed, and I think that the French who voted yes in 2005 but others didn't, that it is important not to forget that the next step, if we have to do it, it has to be significant and it has to be with and for the citizens and not only from our strategic point of view. Thank you very much. Any further interventions? Well, first, Carlo Maria.
Thank you. Well, I have a couple of reflections about, on the basis particularly at PC1. We reflected a lot about question related on modifications in treaties or outside the treaties. I mean, the better question, better answer to your question, and can enlighten also how I see it, is about to ask ourselves before what happened with the EU in the last years, with main challenges. Why populists are shouting against Europe? Why citizens are unsatisfied about Europe? Because institutions, our institutions, didn't provide the needed answers on key issues. Even the member states, if we think about the foreign policy, if we think about the asylum seeker situation, if we think about the economic and social situation, so when we needed more Europe, the state doesn't take the hope leap forward. And that's why, in my opinion, we need to gain the momentum as a federalist and call for using, on one hand, if it's possible, implementing such treaties, but in my opinion, are they not sufficient to solve at root the main problem on European integration right now? We have need to change Europe, and we need to change the treaty and to go ahead in the process. Shared sovereignty, more sovereignty at European level, that means effectiveness and accountability in many fields of foreign policy, of budget policy, on fiscal policy, that are the needed part of our picture that citizens and I mean the faculties need to call for in the next years. Otherwise, we are condemned to marginality at international level. We are condemned to be marginal also in a national debate. You know, we need to be vocal as a federalist proposing a new way to understand Europe, a new way to go ahead in the process. And I mean, doing this, we'll celebrate in the right way, in a successful way, our 70th birthday. And this battle cannot be lost, in particular right now. Thank you.
I'm
sorry to ask the floor again, but actually the remarks made by Florent, my wolf kind of made it clear to me what social value I was looking for when I made my first intervention. I think the social value all three of us are looking for is inclusiveness. Inclusiveness in democracy. We have to involve people in how we take decisions. Inclusiveness in how we lead this organization. We have to involve citizens and our own members in the strategic decisions we take. And inclusiveness in the underlying societies in which we want to shape into a federal Europe. And this value of inclusiveness is not a vague thing. If you look at the OECD working program over the past year, inclusiveness has been the core topic of all the work they have done. And perhaps if we want to search for some inspiration of our work in this field, we can take those documents and start with them and then apply what this would mean in terms of our federal project.
Thanks. Yes. Calves.
So I would like to say something about the last developments we just hear. What is our dream, in fact, if we have only one word, it's peace. But peace is not a dream for us, it's an objective. And now we have also to understand that in a federal system, we have to choose for competency on the level of competency. And of course, Europe must be social, that's obvious. But we must take care of that. When we say that, in fact, in the actual institutions, we have a system which is called structural funds, which are supposed effectively to fight against poverty and to fight against the differences of goals in the different members. We are not as federalists to be a substitute to the function of the institutions. And sometimes we are also to support when they are doing things correctly. If there is a problem with structural funds, if there is a problem with poverty and the equilibrium of growth and development, what we have to do is to support the institution doing that. Concerning the level of competency, our main aim is effectively the political union. If we ask to Europe at any level, and effectively at the federal level, to solve our problem, is the contrary of subsidiarity. We must take care that we must make the effort at the right place. And we as federalists, we have to have some priorities too. For me, the priority is a political one. And so I agree with what has been said, I'm not against, but the first thing to do is to convince the majority of people in Europe, in the European Union, that we need the last stage of political union. That means we need effectively a federal system in which all these problems of competency at a different level are solved by an intelligent and efficient system.
Thank you. Luisa Condellini.
Okay, sorry. I just wanted to make some reflection, a brief intervention on many topics that have been raised. I think in the forward campaign, the strategy that we are going to face in the coming months, I think that what we have acquired as a consciousness is the fact that we are arriving to a point in the European situation in which we cannot avoid facing the question of treaty change. Because we need both to found a European Union on different levels of integration, and so the Brexit is an occasion just because of that. Okay? And because we need to solve the questions both of democratic legitimacy and effectiveness, political capacity of the European. So we are at a point in which there are no alternatives to change the institutional architecture of the Union. In the meantime, we are facing many attempts and proposals made even inside the institutions to set up instruments and policies trying to give an answer to the most urgent questions that are worrying the European citizens. And we must be aware, we have even thought for a while that they were in a certain sense a means to arrive to the treaty change, a means to force governments and institutions to the treaty change. Like even thinking to European, to a Eurozone budget or fiscal capacity. I think that now it's very clear that there is not, in a certain sense, this relation of instruments. So the two campaigns must go really in parallel. And we must really push for a clear roadmap for the treaty change. And we must support strongly those policies, interventions, proposals that can improve the situation in Europe. Be it on the economic field, be it in the justice and security field, the migration questions, the foreign and security policy questions. We must be very aware of the relations of the priorities. It is the only way, I think, by which we can organize a true effective campaign, which we must not forget will be very much, and this is up to our own the national sections. It's very much of national sections. What was told yesterday during the debate by the IDP, especially by our president, I think is very important and very correct. We have a strong task at national level in order to convince the government, to campaign on the government, to bring to find a way of mobilizing the citizens, the civil society, the political forces even, to work the government in order that they arrive to the consciousness that there is a consensus or at least a push forward in order for them to find an agreement to open the changing of the treaties. There is, as Lyon was saying yesterday, there is a role that the European Parliament must play in this process and that we must absolutely support. But we must be aware that there are all these levels and that we must keep them all together only if we have in mind what is the really key point that will be the breakthrough for Italy, sorry, for Europe. And it will be the changing of the institution, the refounding of the Union from this point of view, the treaty change. Not that we must change the institutions. I think it's very clear among us. We don't have this, these misunderstandings. We know that we are acting inside the institutional framework of the Union, using the current institutions, but we have to reformulate that, and especially we have to create this shift of power and this shift of sovereignties, which only can make Europe capable to answer to the challenges that are threatening our societies and citizens. And obviously, this means that all the values we are referring to, all the questions we are referring to, they are all urgent, they are all important, they are all strategic. But they are not the ones who will change the situation. They are not the ones who will make change the opinion to the public, to the citizens. We are not enough. We must use our contacts with the citizens in order to convince as much as we can and to bring them on our front. But the front is to make the government and to make the European institutions work on the road for treaty change. So we must be very aware, I think, when in clarifying these points, which would give us the instruments in setting up our campaign, I think.
Thank you. Grazie, thank you. A comment on what Luisa said about the referendum being an opportunity. Of course, I agree, but at the same time, I have tabled some amendments alongside other colleagues to the general policy resolution, because we don't think that we should make a positive reading of the agreement between the European Council and UK, at least entirely, in the sense that, first of all, the British people is really voting in out. It's not really voting so much about the details of the agreement between the European Council and the UK. That's number one. So I agree in that sense that either if it's a yes or a no, and I hope for the yes, like all of us, it will be an opportunity for what Luisa said, the launching of the process of deeper integration in the Eurozone. Then I also agree that in the deal there are good things, like when it is written that those that don't want to go farther, they cannot stop those that want to go farther. That's an achievement. But it is also true that there are at least two negative aspects that we should either highlight or at least not make a positive evaluation of the deal. Specifically, the limitations to the freedom of movement of workers and people. I really don't think, and you know that's part of the deal, with the so-called emergency break, and I don't think we as federalists could support that, even for those that remain outside the inner core. That's number one. And number two, the European Council has given to itself the power to interpret the treaties by interpreting in a restrictive fashion their closer union. Again, first of all, as federalists, I don't think we can recognize to the European Council the power to interpret the treaties. Certainly that's not the role, and less when they do it in order to, as I said, interpret restrictively the other two regions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Peter Nardes, I represent the European Federalist Party. I'm here as an observer with a few colleagues, and I really enjoyed this debate. I think it's a fantastic, it's really energizing to see so much like-minded people like us. And I think I heard very much what Graham said and Peter said before regarding the issue. I think sometimes when we discuss between ourselves, we risk a bit being a bit auto-referential. We get stuck in maybe some details. But if you look a bit back, what we're really missing today in Europe, I think, is mainly the awareness that we have shared interest as citizens, first of all. So I think if we ever think of doing a campaign, one thing could be how we can build this awareness that we are constituencies. we are a constituency where we have some common interests, and sometimes these interests are not respected by member states in the council, for instance. So I think one key thing, the objective that maybe we could push it together is how we can work together to ensure that our citizens find a place in the European project. Today, when we have most people during the election, as a candidate in Belgium, people tell me, why Europe? Why would you do there? My friends, when I go back to Italy, tell me, I work also in a commission, and they tell me, but Ken, what do you do in Brussels? All these problems, migration, economic crisis, what are you doing over there? People didn't know what their place in today's project. And the project became something which is mainly for experts. Something which, if they don't know enough articles, they can really say. So I think the first challenge for us, the federalists, I think, should be to say, this is not my project as a function of the commission or as a member of the organization. It's my project because it's my future at stake. The future of my generation at stake. A couple of months ago, I traveled also to Germany, and I was in the GAPTD in Brussels. And for the first time in my whole life, traveling within the EU, I was asked a passport. I was getting into a train in Brussels, and I was asked a passport to go to Frankfurt on a train. And can you imagine? That's the first time in my whole life I felt threatened. My right to be a citizen, a European citizen, was threatened. I didn't have a passport on me. Then I said, okay, look, I have an ID, which is a registration card, actually, so I could pass. But the freedom of mobility, which actually our founding fathers have been working on, and we've been most of us enjoying, is that kind of threat. So the first thing is to say, we are a constituency. We have interests, common interests that we have to be aware of. We are European. Sometimes we don't know it. Sometimes we're not able to say it. But I think that's crucial. I think the main thing should be to build an awareness. And the way to build awareness is to find a way, a communicating way, trying to think how the citizen can again regain his role, her role in the European project. It's difficult, but I think that's the key thing that would make Europe what actually we want to be, like fully democratic and closed as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
I would like to say a word about innovation, because I think that nowadays in Europe we are facing a very important crisis, an economic crisis, and I think this crisis comes from lack of innovation. We are not capable to innovate like American people, and we are not capable to create big companies such as Google, Apple, Facebook, Uber, and I think we should work on this topic, innovation, to create new source of growth for all continents and solve the economic crisis. I think it's a key topic.
Hello, my name is Troy Davis from Strasbourg. I want to address some things which some previous speakers spoke about and also yesterday about focusing on some message or some comment on some theme that will appeal to the European citizens, trying to be close to the citizens and also having a sort of a logo or a slogan. Yesterday we heard Joe Leinen who said that we are sort of the architects or the engineers or the builders of Europe, and many speakers have spoken about this idea of building, of constructing Europe. And so I was thinking, if we want to have a problem with our logo or the name, when you speak about federalism is a very technical, dry, unsexy word. In some countries, federalists are even the enemy historically. In the French Revolution, the federalists are the ones who the revolutionaries went out and killed. They were considered regionalists against the revolution. And so federalism, it cannot be a sort of broad church name to attract millions of Europeans. It's a technical tool, which we use technical intellectual thing, but we cannot really use it as a kind of slogan. So we have to find some other name which is really attractive, and I think if we look at what the people, the Eurosceptics or people against the European project speak about, we have to try to undercut what they do. And what is the main objection that they have to what we are doing or what European Union? They say the European Union is not democratic. That's their number one message. If you think about also the people about sovereignty, this morning in this commission we have the idea of sovereignty. People say we want to be in control again. It's the same message. The European Union is not democratic. We at the national level, we are democratic. So this is where the power should be, the sovereignty should be. So we have to address this issue. So I want to make a proposal for the kind of very short slogan, that maybe our slogan for the masses should be something like building European democracy, which is not our name, but it could be the slogan. And our name then, federalism, is just a toolbox, is just one instrument that when people say, oh yeah, okay, you want to build European democracy, fine, how? You know, the small French people who go to the next step will say how, and then we say, well, those principles, blah, 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 federalism, and so on and so on. But I think we will never attract or motivate or make the European project attractive and sexy by saying federalism, European federation. This will not work. Except federalism only has a good press in countries that are historically federalist, like Germany, like Austria. But not otherwise. We have to accept that. So that is just a proposal for also in terms of communication. This also has to do with the theme. If we say, what are you? We're about building buildings. So we're more engineers, architects, scientists, scientific people who want to build European democracy. And then that can lead us to how to do it. Thank you.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Igor Yanis, I'm Greek from the UF Europe. 2 points. First of all, I'd like to see in the resolution in the field of enlargement and neighborhood, the development aspect of the thing, because following the sustainable development goals that have been adopted in New York recently, the development is not something only addressed to developing countries, but it's a global challenge concerning all of us. This is the first point. And my second point would be, as for the big picture, that we face today, Europe-wide, the problem of those who have on the one part, we have those who reject, clearly reject Europe from various destinations, communists or extreme right, but we have those who are constantly criticize Europe without saying that they are in favor of another group. These kind of people are kind of people who have a hidden agenda. So they invest to the fact that if Europe finally splits and we go back to national states, then they will be the winners. If Europe moves forward and there is a kind of political unity or federation I wish, then they will pretend that due to them we move forward. So this is not at all fair. And that's why I think that we should clearly ask them to reject any kind of splitting Europe and moving towards a more political unity, towards what I call, and I accept that we need a kind of political motto, which would be European federal, we should dare to say federal, European federal democracy. That's it.
Thank you very much. Switch off the microphone, please. Okay.
Thank you so much for giving me the floor. I'd like to thank you all for your input today. I would just like to say something short, a very short comment. I'm a very strong federalist, but I'm Eurosceptic. Being Eurosceptic doesn't necessarily mean that you are anti-EU. So you're not against the EU project, but being Eurosceptic means that you question the policy of the European Union and you want a better union. And I think, actually, that this is what we are doing today. So, being Eurosceptic, when the crisis started in 2009, I very much trust that most of the citizens of the EU, especially Greece and Spain and Italy, they didn't even know what the European Central Bank is or what exactly they're doing. When the crisis started, citizens started questioning themselves what these people are doing in Brussels, what these central banks are doing. So I think that eventually crisis helped a bit to build and to question our European identity. And this is where I think that we should step, and this is where I think we have to see the wrong policies, what we've done wrong, and to do better. But I think that being Eurosceptic is not bad. On the contrary, it can be a motivation to build a better union. And in order to build European demos, we need to phrase federalism. Federalism is sexy. It can be sexy, but we have to sell it in a better way. And because federalism is not just a word. Federalism is something that we do in our everyday life. It's a philosophy. It's a philosophy, and we have to fight for it. But we have to show the way to do this. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to react to the previous speaker speech. Do you realize when you say you are Eurosceptic that EU policies currently are, for most of them, decided by, sorry for the expression, but a bunch of nationalists that from time to time gather in the name of European Council, and this is not a democratic process. So when you accuse the EU of not having the policies you would like, you should say that also, because this is not really representing the wish of the European peoples that we want to unite. When you say that the current EU policies are not according to your expectations, if UK policies are not according to your expectations, you don't use the term of UK sceptic. This doesn't apply to each one of our national states. I would like also take the time to react to the previous reference to the French Revolution, because I think it's not true that federalists were considered as enemies of the French Revolution. It's simply a matter that the French centralizers were willing to come back in power as under the monarchy. Few people remember that the date of the national celebration, the 14th of July, does not refer to the Bastille Day as so many people think. It refers to the 14th of July the year after, 1790, and on that occasion it was the Feast of Federation. So this was already revolutionary. Thank you.
Okay.
Emil van Essen from the Netherlands. I'm hesitating to speak a little bit about the things in my mind because we are more from United Nations level. I'm now for 7 years in the Sustainable Development, Coal Development, and what we recognize is that most important is labor value. We're talking about monetary systems and money and jobs. I recognize that jobs need most of the time money. But looking to money, you hear that it has a huge inflation. When you look over a lifetime of 18 years, you lose 3 times to 5 times the value of your money. Banking time values doesn't have that negative effect. That means when you make a recalculation, you save 60% more value when you don't do it in the money, but just in time. I know this is not especially something that's known in federalist movement, but I like to have a discussion about it. Thank you very much.
If I may, I just want to continue the discussion of federalism versus democracy. I'm not saying that federalism is a difficult word to sell. Democracy is a very easy word to sell. And I'm saying we have to differentiate several levels of selling. And we are among an elite, we use a jargon, political scientists, whatever, and for us federalism it's easy. But if you look at the great masses of citizens, most of them don't even understand what it is. I mean, if you have to think like ask people. If you want to sell a product, a very famous car company says Das Auto, and then they don't have to specify more, and then they give all the details. But when you want to sell a mass product, we want to sell a mass product. We have to decide what we are. Are we a mass product organization? Do we want to convince millions of people, ordinary citizens, or do we just want to convince the policy elite? We have to make that choice. We don't talk to the policy elite the same way that we talk to millions of people. And it's going to be a different language, except it has to be coherent. Everything we do has to be 100% coherent, but it's not the same language. So I agree federalism is a fundamental principle of political organization, but it's not easy to sell federalism to 500 million people. And we just have to make a strategic decision. Are we trying to speak to the citizens of Europe in general, which I thought we were, which I think everybody says we have to, or I feel we're shooting ourselves in the foot because we're always coming back to language which is for the elite, for the political elite, for the scientists, for the students, for the media, and this is a mistake. We have to really, in our mind, be clear. Who are we talking to? Who is the target? And then we can also talk to both, but different language. It's different language, and they have to be coherent. But we cannot sell federalism, I think, to the masses. Thank you.
Well, we just celebrated with the exhibition outside 70 years of federalism in Europe and 70 years of the European Federalist Union, and I think going back on that for a term like democracy is not really helpful. On the contrary, I think it would be harmful, because the right-wing populists, which very much control a large swath of the popular discussion right now, they are using the word democracy against Europe. And for them, democracy, more democracy, means the Swiss model of we want a popular vote on no more mosques. We want a popular vote on no more immigrants. And that's what they see as democracy. And if you want to go that way and say, we are the one who gives more democracy, those will always answer, it is not democracy unless you give us this popular vote against the immigrants, against the migrants, against the mosques, and so on. National democracy, and that's not what we want. If we would want to go in your direction and say we need a term which appeals to more people and which gives a vision, a product, your car, then perhaps it could be in the direction of Ulrike Gerhold, who says, a European republic is what we want. Because that is clear, then it's clear we want a clearly democratic state. Most of the member states are republics, not everyone is a federal state. But if we say the European republic is what we want, then it's clear there is democracy of all levels included in a common state which we want.
Andreas Matiuev, Germany. I welcome it very much that we have a real federalist debate here. And in fact, as well the debate about the label, as well as the debate about our ancestors. We should not forget Alexander Hamilton. He really wrote and as well acted upon state federation. And we should not forget as well Pierre-Joseph Proudhon, who cared a lot about the social life and was not only against nationalism, but as well fought for participation in the state. Participation is not really direct democracy, so we could cause a lot of misunderstandings. The debate you can follow, by the way, within this the federalist debate, there is a magazine with this debate you can reach every 2 months. It's published in Torino at the moment, I think, and in fact it is possible to follow this. But a label is the right approach. But first of all, we must have this kind of discussion we are having now. Federalism is nothing for fashion, and we cannot sell it like a car. Yeah? I'm a bit grumbling about that, because in fact I know how cars are sold, and I know that nowadays, in times of hybrid and electronic cars, people understand a lot of different things which we have not imagined 20 years ago under the name car. So we shan't have the same thing with the federalism. So I'm in favor of going on calling the federalism, but please create some short explanations. This is very
much. Thank you very much. Thank you for allowing me to speak because I'm not part of the comment. There are three resolutions I wish to address your attention to. The first one is related to the Workers' Movement and the Union of European Federalists that were created together 70 years ago. There were so many reasons for the division between those that were concerned about Europe and those who were more concerned about the war at those. But I don't think any of this remained. First, because if you were European at 40s or 50s, you could do nothing about the United Nations. But no, you can. And if you were American, you can. You could do nothing for Europe in the 40s and the 50s, but now you can. So these reasons are not more logic, and we need to work together for a better and more integrated world. The same about the kind of trouble that Europe is facing now. Every problem, each problem the European Union is facing now, is a global problem. You know, the United Nations cannot fix the situation in Syria and Libya, you have a big problem of migration. The United Nations cannot fix the problem of finance, you have unemployment. So that's why the intervention of the Union of European Federalists and European Union at the global level is so important. The world needs the European Union and the Union of European Federalists. So let's work together.
I know the West is part of the workplace movement. Let me say, as the chair of the council, it's not an active part. We need more participation, stronger opinion. We need to put regional integration in as one of the priorities of our movement. I'm working on that inside the workplace movement. I need your support for doing that. And any of your organizations can become an associated organization of the workplace movement. Please do it. We need you. This is, there is a motion in favor of that. There is a resolution. I wish you support. The second one is about the Global Week of World Parliament and the support of an amendment by Nicola Valinotto in favor of the United Nations Parliamentary Assembly. I don't want to spend a long speech on this, but you know, many important figures connected with the Union of European Federations are part of the campaign in favor of the United Nations Parliamentary Assembly. Federica Mogherini, I met Federica Mogherini when we were members of our parliament, and she asked me my project in favor of the UNPA for being presented what she did at the Italian Chamber. And also Jolainen is the boss of the parliamentarian group of the campaign for the United Nations Parliamentarian Assembly. So please support this initiative. Another one, resolution, which is I am the pro director of the only Altiero Spinelli Cathedra in the world. It's in Buenos Aires, which is, I'm sorry, but this is a shame for the European Parliament. I told this to the European Parliament. The European Parliament, 10 years, I'm fighting inside the European Parliament for creating not just Monet Cathedra. You know, Altiero Spinelli Cathedra, spirit thinking, connected not only to the academic level, but also with global society, political society, federalists. You will need federalists all over the world. And Altiero Spinelli Cathedra should be, there is also a petition inside the European Parliament. We need support for that petition from the Union of European Federalists and from you. Please do it.
You mean chair? Chair?
But chair, yes, cathedra, yes. It's not exactly academic chair, it's a center of federal action related to the academy, related to social society, civil society, etc. Then, anyway, you can check that. This is an official petition. Dominic De Leta has introduced, promoted this, and I can't remember the Italian European parliamentarian, I'm sorry, who introduced this, but the petition is still on the table and we can promote this. We need your support for doing that. Think about 20 of these cathedra all over Europe, all over the world, promoting fair thinking all over the world. Finally, as a Latin American, there is the treaty between the European Union and the Mercosur is on the table right now. And Argentina, my country, was the main obstacle to do this. But this is the past, because we have not Kirchner as the power. There is a new government which is favorable to sign the agreement. This means if the Europe, the European Union, and Mercosur sign this treaty of commercial interchange, this should be maybe the first, the most important song for commerce and economic development all over the world. This is something that I think the West should take as part of this concerns. And finally, we are, I'm running a small NGO which is part of the workplace movement called Democracia Global, Global Democracy. And we are running a campaign for creating a Latin American and Caribbean court against organized crime. You know, there is a UN convention, Palermo Convention, against organized crime. Well, we need a court in South America, in all Latin America, in order to fix this problem. And the campaign is getting more and more successful. I have called any of you interested, but you can enter the coalicioncopla.org page, and you can sign individually, and your organization can be part of the campaign too, just by entering the webpage, coaliciónCoplan.org. And this is very important because the result of Latin American